Hello, this is Neville Collard, Noongar Buriya, and we're sitting at Kalamunda at the terminus, and we're just about to tell the story of this area. Kalamunda is was a very significant place to Noongar, and in particular Munda, who was Yagan's brother, whose area has always been identified with the Kalamunda area, and Guildford was Mandoon. The story that I'd like to just tell you folks are the story of how Kalamunda got its name. The early explorer and early settler who came to Perth came, and he was actually looking to get a parcel of land, and he didn't know where. So he went down to see Governor Stirling down in Pier Street in Perth, whose office still exists there, and he went in there and he applied for a parcel of land, and he got his parcel of land. And it turned out that it was situated in Kalamunda on the top of the hills. So before he left to go back to Kalamunda, he wrote a letter to his family back in England. And in the letter he told them to bring different stores, items, horses, goats, cattle, sheep, chickens. And after 6 months or so, he would light a large fire in the hills from the land that he'd cleared. And he could keep that fire going. And when his family returned from England, they could follow his mud map that he'd drawn, coming back along the Swan River, along the Derby Yerrigan to east where Welshpool Road travels east. And subsequently they came back, and as they were following the map and they were walking out through Welshpool Road, when they got to the Mamba Reserve, which is situated on Welshpool Road there, just a little bit off to in Hartfield, there's a whole significant area of where Mamba Noongars live. And the settler's family came and they said to the Noongars, "Hello Noongar, can you tell us what the smoke in the hills mean?" The Noongar couldn't understand English, the Englishman couldn't understand Noongar, but the Noongars knew that they were pointing to the fire in the hills, and all the Noongars knew that that was the land of Munda. And they said to the white fellows, "That's Kalamunda," because they knew that was the fire of Munda. So the word Kala means fire, and the word Munda was Munda's country and his land. So the Noongars were saying it back to front. They were saying Kalamunda, Kalamunda, to say it's the fire of Munda. And there's a lot of language like Noongars impose on people. They do actually have a tendency at times to say the things backwards. So that's how Kalamunda got its name, and it was written down, and people have called it Kalamunda ever since. Now we're sitting at the terminus, and it's the beginning and the end of the Bibbulmun Trail. If you come from Albany, it's the end of the Bibbulmun Trail. If you're going and you're leaving to go to Albany, it's the beginning of the Bibbulmun Trail. And when you look and where you sit, and you sit under the terminus and you look out, there's some big red gum trees, the moich, and then there's some jarrah trees. There's grass trees, there's the Australian grass tree that played a significant part in the life of Noongars. I'll talk about the grass tree because the grass tree is a very slow growing tree. It grows 1 metre every 70 years. But where the Mindari, the leaves sprout out of the top of the grass tree. You can break down to the butt of the top of the grass tree, they call it a cart. And then you can dig into the top and you can dig out the white shoots of the leaves and you can eat them. Far more importantly, when you dig those leaves out and you create a hollow in the top of the cart of a grass tree, water runs in there and you can drink fresh water. That's cold and good drinking. And so if you get lost through the hills, don't forget to come back and think about the story of the grass trees. And as you walk down the hill, which I've walked a couple of kilometres, we walk along there and we see that there's acacias growing near the wattle trees. And some of the trees had yellow blossoms on. And you can eat those yellow blossoms if you get hungry, because that was the constant food of possums, kangaroos and birds, who ate that. And the Noongars would observe what the animals ate, so therefore they would eat also. You walk down the hill and you come across some more old dried trees there, which were very handy to have for animals sitting in there, birds sitting in there. We saw some black white-tailed Nguyak cockatoos, and we could hear some karaks, but we didn't see any. There's a number of koolbardies, the magpie, there's a number of warrens, the black crows. And as you walk down the hill, you come across the first little belia, the little river, and there's no water in there, but no doubt that in the springtime and early winter, spring and late spring, you could find water in there. I did see some wakul bush there, the ones that's got the whisker of the wakul there. And if you were to dig down there, you could find water there if you were running short of water. And that goes for all the way along the Bibbulmun. There's some white gum trees there that we call the warrant. There's jarrah trees, and the jarrah, the warrant, they're all still the Noongar names, but they've been retained by the colonials and the English people today. We still call them by their Noongar names. There's also dry andras, which are the prickly bush ones, and they have a white flower that flare out. That's a bush that the Noongars ate and sucked the sugar out of it, and they could get some sustenance from sugar. They call it parrot bush because the parrots live inside, because they get protection from the magpies and other animals that try to kill them and eat them. There's the white gum, the berang bushes, which is the low scrubs that grow there. Noongar's got one name, it's called berang, is for the bush that grows about knee high, and it grows all through the forest. And there's one there I call the chocolate bush, because when you break him, he smells like chocolate, but he's got sharp spines on it. So when you walk along there, the main trees to keep an eye out for, the grass tree. The balgut bush is actually the Noongar name for the grass tree. Don't sleep under the white gums or sit under there and have your lunch, because they're well known for dropping limbs. And they'll drop the limbs on a day when there's no wind and it's hot, and it'll just drop for no reason. And those trees are actually called widow makers. So when you make your camp, and when you make your little, you put your tent up on the trail, on the Jenabidi of the Bibbulmun, make sure you always put them up under the jarrahs or the red gums, and not under the white gums or the wattle trees. On the trail, as you walk, you can also find kwandong trees, which is a fruit tree, and the nuts are edible. You crack them open. Those nuts can be used for grinding up, make flour, make a paste. You can eat them. He has a red fruit about twice as big as a marble, and it grows and fruits from August onwards, maybe till October. Then there's a sandalwood tree, which is like a sister to the kwandong. They have a light red and nut, the same size, and those flesh is not quite as good as the kwandong, but the nut, you can break the nut and grind the nut inside. You can eat it, you can add water, you can make soap and shampoo for your hair, and of course it's also a good thing for headaches if you eat it. Then you go along and you've got other little berries. You've got melon berries and kicking berries. They grow on little shrub things in the springtime, and they're red in colour. And then the melon berry is a small one, about big as a pea, and then they look like a melon, and hence the name melon berries. So they're good eating, and they're very, very delicious eating little nuts they are. The kicking berry is a green bush that grows on the ground. It's a very short one with sharp leaves, and when you run your foot over it, the fruit, the berries, jump out and you can eat them. They're also very edible flesh. They're another one, again, you've got to be looking in the springtime. And then of course there's another tree that you must be very careful of, and it's called York Road. It's a vine, and it has purple flowers on it. And if you see that vine and those purple flowers, don't eat them, don't touch them, because they're very poisonous. Kangaroos and emus might be able to eat it, but humans and stock, sheep and cattle, the York Road poison will knock them over in 10 seconds. And then there's another poison bush they call the box poison. But you don't eat that, you won't see it. But sometimes we used to use it to light fires. And don't forget that when you're walking, if there's ample grass trees, belgas, growing that, and you haven't got a mattress, you can break the leaves off the mindari and lay them down on the bottom of the grass tree and you'll have yourself a soft bed. And if it rains at night, the water won't run up through your bed, it'll run underneath the leaves.